Get ready to get blitzed on the Blitz podcast at thehuddle.com with your hosts, Steve Gallo and Harley Schultz.
Welcome back for another episode of the Blitz Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Gallo, joined by my trusty sidekick, partner in crime, Harley Schultz. Harley, how's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. Get to watch a little Monday Night Football. Unfortunately, my Minnesota Vikings are playing on Monday night, where anyone who's anyone will tell you that Kirk Cousins is 0-9 for his career.
It could be worse.
How's that?
He could be 0-10 already.
Yeah, it probably will be in a couple hours here. So,
well, we'll see. We'll see. You have to have some faith. The Bears aren't exactly a very strong team with that winning record they have. But, hey, if they say you are what your record is.
We've got an interesting dilemma going tonight. We've got the incredibly talented, not offense of the Bears, and the incredibly talented, not defense of the Vikings. It's like the movable force is facing the imperfable object. Or what's the inverse of the axiom there.
it's reverse day is what it is. It's Costanza
day. Exactly.
We have a
it's 2020 in a football game.
Yes, we have a Costanza matchup. We have a 2020 matchup. That's right. That's what it will be. All right. So for those that don't know, yes, it's Monday night. We're recording Monday night, so the game hasn't started yet. I don't think it's going to kick off any minute now. So you'll hear this after the game's already happened and while we're living it live. Tonight we will be, of course, talking about our normal DFS segment where we'll give you a pay up, stay away, and value play at each of the positions, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. Sorry, we're not doing defense and kickers. And then we are also going to do a segment on dynasty buys and sells tonight. And we'll see how that goes. But before any of that happens, the first thing we always do is we throw it over to Harley for this week's Blitzed Podcast News.
Thank you, Steve. Drew Brees is questionable at best for Week 11 after suffering multiple rib injuries and a punctured lung this past Sunday. Last week, it was Jameis Winston who got the extended run at quarterback in Brees' absence. Still, some are wondering what role gadget quarterback Taysom Hill will have if this is a prolonged absence for Brees. As for me, I'm just hoping that this means that DraftKings and FanDuel will both finally get on the same page regarding Hill's position status. In other NFC South quarterback news, Teddy Bridgewater had an MRI today on his injured knee, and it revealed only a minor MCL sprain. His status for this weekend is also in doubt. If Teddy misses the game, the Panthers would be forced to turn to 2019 third-rounder Will Greer or XFL superstar PJ Walker. Teddy, of course, signed with the Panthers this offseason for 3 years and $63 million following his fill-in play for Drew Brees last year. When Jameis Winston heard how big the contract was that Bridgewater signed, he immediately went online and ordered a Drew Brees voodoo doll. Unfortunately for Jameis, due to the pandemic and Amazon being booked solid on shipping of PS5s, the voodoo doll did not arrive until this past weekend. Gardner Minshew reported today that he would not be ready to play this coming week against Pittsburgh. Apparently, he had planned on returning this week until he looked at the schedule and saw who the opponent was at. That's when he looked at his finger and said, "Ow, my finger is hurting again." Sam Darnold has already been ruled out for Week 11 due to his ongoing shoulder injury. This is Darnold playing 3D chess with the Jets. He knows that Flacco has no chance to win the game, thus increasing the odds that the Jets will get the first overall pick and ultimately end up drafting Trevor Lawrence. At that point, then, in turn, they would be more likely to let Darnold escape the Gase chamber. And finally, Baltimore tight end Nick Boyle sustained a knee injury Sunday and he is officially out for the rest of the year. Perhaps now, finally, Mark Andrews can officially be listed as the starting tight end for the Baltimore Ravens. That way he'll at least get introduced with the starters on network television. This has been your BPN News Update.
That really is kind of maddening. I mean, it doesn't really mean much, but it is kind of maddening, isn't it?
Well, again, if you're a player that has had that much effect on their offense, obviously one of the top three or four dynasty tight ends out there, and he can't even get the just respect of being introduced as a starter on TV. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, last year they introduced Hurst and Boyle ahead of him. This year, Boyle is still getting introduced ahead of him on offense. It's absolutely crazy, I think.
So that means that when Andrews wants to get paid, you don't even start, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so you're talking – look, that was a gruesome injury. We've had too many gruesome injuries this year, quite honestly. I think Drew Brees has one lung and two ribs left, right? Something like that.
It looked pretty gross there, yeah. He barely got touched by the defender. I think most of the damage was caused by going into the back of his own guy.
Well, and evidently he broke two ribs, I think it was, last week, and then three more this week. That's like, come on. As they used to say on, I think, that sports station, come on, man. They might still say that. I don't know. Anyway, since, you're talking about Mandrews, as I like to call him, and we said we were going to do a dynasty bit, why don't you take the keys and take us for a ride?
Well, unfortunately, Mandrews is not part of my dynasty discussion here this week. What we're going to do is we're going to look at six players at each of the four major positions, and I'm going to bring them up to you, and I'm going to get your take and my take on whether they are dynasty buys or sells for you.
Okay, sounds good.
Again, we're using this in the standpoint of not what they're going to do for you the rest of the year this year, but whether or not you're buying or selling them in dynasty formats.
You're going to torture me with quarterbacks too, aren't you?
I've only got six, but I split them up into two groupings. So you only have to talk about two groupings, really.
Okay. If you say so.
Okay. Well, the first three have something in common. That's Cam Newton, Ben Roethlisberger, and Tom Brady. And what we have here is, of course, three quarterbacks that are getting up there in age. And there's got to be some question about their future careers because of that.
So, buy, sell, sell.
You're buying Cam Newton.
Yeah, because you can buy him cheap. And he's youngest of the bunch, right? And
yes.
He's working his way back. And he may not be a Patriot next year. He could wind up on another team as a stopgap, possibly Chicago or something like that. And his legs are always going to make him somewhat valuable. So, yeah, I'm buying Cam Newton because you buy him for pennies on the dollar.
I think that's really the only argument for buying him is that he's that cheap. And I can't see buying any of these three, really, except for in two quarterback situations. Because for me, what we've seen of Cam Newton this year is, it doesn't help that he doesn't have any receivers to throw to.
No, he doesn't.
But his arm has looked really, really bad. And again, he's playing on a team that should be doing everything possible to make him a success. But you can't count on 9 or 10 rushing touchdowns a year from a quarterback. That never is keepable and continuable. If you look back at all the rushing quarterbacks in history, none of them have had, maybe Michael Vick had two seasons of near or above double-digit touchdowns rushing. So
right.
It's not sustainable for him.
I'm going to pick one of his skill position players, and if you can spell his last name, I'll change my buy to a sell.
Oh, God. That could be scary.
Olszewski.
You know what? Actually, I should be able to spell him because I included him in my list of players last week. It's O-L-S-Z-E...
Hold on, I got to pull this up. I didn't even think you would attempt it.
Well, and also I actually used to bowl with someone as a kid who had the same last name. That's the only reason I think I might be able to pull this one off.
So then, that's kind of weird too, because how many people do you think know somebody with the last name of Olszewski? I played baseball with somebody in high school with the last name of Olszewski.
Well, actually, I bowled with siblings who had the last name of Olszewski, both brother and sister, so That's the only reason I have any chance at this. I'm glad you didn't like make me try to spell Ogunbuinam from last week.
You know what? You don't even get a chance. Forget it. He's not even listed. He didn't have a catch. So I can't even look up his name easily. So I'm not going to take the chance. We're just going to say you spelled it wrong and go from there.
Well, I'll say this. His first name is Gunner.
Okay.
And he plays on special teams sometimes as the Gunner. I think that's pretty special.
That is special. All right, I'm leaving Cam as a buy. Technically, I won't ever buy any quarterbacks, but I'll leave Cam as a buy since he's pennies on the dollar.
Okay, next up, I've got three middling quarterbacks, each with legitimate threats to their jobs going forward. Carson Wentz, Teddy Bridgewater, and Sam Darnold.
Okay, under the precipice that I don't buy quarterbacks, I'm going to act like a normal person, okay?
Well, I'm going to say that for the purposes of this discussion, we're discussing all three of these players in terms of a super flex or two quarterback league.
So I am buying Carson Wentz. You talk about lack of skill players.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, still. And we've seen enough glimpses, and he's got the size, and he's not afraid to make plays with his legs. And I think even during his bad run prior to the Giants or maybe their bye, if you go look at a 4 or 5 week stretch of where he was fantasy wise, he's one of those guys where his production NFL wise, game wise doesn't look great, but then you look at his scores and they're not that bad. So yeah, I'm not giving up on Carson, and I don't think the Eagles are actually going to give up on him either, unless they decide to give up on both him and Doug. And if that happens, somebody, look, you know what? Phillip Rivers is a stopgap in Indianapolis. Give me Carson Wentz in Indianapolis.
I would love that.
Seriously, because I guarantee you Frank Reich will be the first one knocking at the door. I'll take him. What's the cost? So, yes, I'd buy him. The next one that you said was Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes. He's got a very large dollar commitment for him next year, but obviously the third year most of that money is not committed. Obviously, I think they're going to keep him next year at the contract price, but is he someone that you would want to have in Dynasty? Considering the fact that he is historically, and I've brought this up on numerous occasions, known for scoring one or fewer touchdowns most weeks.
Yeah, here's
now,
why.
This year he's done better. This year he's done better, I'll admit.
Yeah, I know. I almost tweet you every time I see him hit two. So he's somebody I think you get pennies on the dollar for also. And if I were buying him, I'd actually almost have my eye to the following year, unless for some reason they found a way that they could deal him. I don't think they would next year. But just imagine, again, let's use Chicago as that landing spot. Could you see him in Chicago with Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller, you know, 2 years from now? But more than likely, I'm probably not going to buy him this year for next year.
Well, we're in the same boat, though, there. I mean, that's assuming Allen Robinson stays in Chicago.
Very true.
But – you're right. Right now he's with the team that has so many weapons. I mean, he should be excelling beyond belief there with Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson and McCaffrey before the injury. And he's still struggling to score two touchdowns a game most weeks.
All right. You just sold me. Yeah, he's not a buy. He's a sell. How's that?
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, if he cannot be a consistent two touchdown a week performer with the weapons he has in Carolina,
yep,
he's never going to be a two touchdown a week scorer in regular fantasy. From a two quarterback league, I have a feeling that he's going to end up being sort of the next Andy Dalton, the next Jameis Winston, the guy that's going to be a very capable backup for teams.
Alex Smith.
Alex Smith, yeah. And then lastly, Sam Darnold, who's talk about a guy who's had no weapons most of the year.
Yeah. So the answer to Sam Darnold is, I actually bought Sam Darnold, I think it was last year. Didn't expect to get gased. So my stance is I think he still has all the talent in the world. If you get him in to a better situation, better coaching staff, better, you know, weapons, or I should say weapons that somebody knows how to use, instead of, you know, using ancient players that are been in the Hall of Fame for 5 years already, Frank Gore, I'd say I'm buying Sam Darnold. Because again,
you mentioned Indianapolis once before. I got to think about Indianapolis and him possibly being there too.
Indianapolis.
I mean, again, Michael Pittman. You've got Paris Hilton coming back next year. They'll still have T.Y. under contract. Zach Pascal's very, very good at times. They've got two good tight ends to throw to in Moelle Cox.
Yep.
And Jack Doyle.
And Trey Burton.
Yeah.
I also think that, you know, Chicago, just again, Chicago, you don't rule out. If Jacksonville doesn't wind up the number one overall pick, are they a landing spot? Possibly. They may not have all the weapons that you would want, but yeah, I mean, there's some weapons there too. So no, I buy Darnold. I buy Darnold. And as a Darnold owner, I'm suffering through a tough year, but I still think I'm in a good spot at my quarterback position.
I absolutely agree with you on all three of those players. So that's pretty cool.
Okay.
Okay, rolling on to running back now. Again, we've got two groups of three. The first three will be severely underperforming rookies: Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jonathan Taylor, and J.K. Dobbins.
This is a quick and easy one. Just yes. If you can get
still have faith in all three of them.
Still have faith in all three of them. If I added faith, if you say, okay, Steve, you have to have less faith in one of them, who is it? It's Jonathan. I have no issues whatsoever with Edwards-Helaire, and I have absolutely zero issues with Dobbins. I really do.
Well, in truth, I actually agree with you on that. My biggest concern with Dobbins going into next season is how much of a factor, I mean, even if they shed Mark Ingram, even if they shed Gus Edwards, even if they shed Justice Hill, how much of Dobbins' shine will still be taken up by Lamar Jackson running the ball and putting it in the end zone?
Not enough to not make him a running back one. How's that? I was going to say top 12. I think he could hit top 10, but as a running back one, how's that? A running back one you're going to get at the third round or later, probably.
I absolutely agree. So, yes, we're still buying all three of the rookies.
Yep.
And right now is probably the time to do it, because teams that are going for it this year that might happen to have those guys on their roster are basically breaking their TVs and like throwing stuff at them right now because they're sick and tired of them not doing anything. And you're not going to get them for pennies on the dollar because they still have great pedigrees.
Yep. The only one
you'll be able to get them for less than, I mean, at the start of this year, to get a top two pick in a dynasty league where you would have been picking CEH or Taylor, you are giving up two or three, not just one high first round pick. You're giving up two or three top five picks in dynasty just to get one of those guys. Now you can get one of those guys for a DJ Moore.
Yeah, I think that of the three, Jonathan Taylor is the one that you're going to get the best discount on. Actually, probably Edwards-Helaire too, based on how high and fast he grew, rose over the summer. But yeah, I mean, none of them are going to cost you what they cost you a mere 3 months ago.
Exactly. Okay. Now, going a little bit ahead on running backs.
Yep.
We've got three running backs who are still each reasonably young, but they're currently injured, or they've been known to have injuries in the past or be oft injured, as the term goes. And they're all three in backfields that like to use more than one running back. Those three being David Montgomery, Austin Eckler, and Todd Gurley.
So this is where I should have pointed out earlier, Harley and I did not discuss these players. I'm hearing them for the first time, just as you are. That bunch, I may buy one of them. And it's not Todd Gurley. And it's not David Montgomery, although you probably can get him for a fair value. I'll buy the first guy. The second guy. I'll buy Eckler.
You're not concerned about Joshua Kelly and Tremaine Pope and Justin Jackson and whatever, Kylan Ballage and
so I'm not going to pay premium for him, right? But the fact that he's a good pass catcher and a blocker, he's always going to have a solid role, and he's somebody that if he has the upside, it's great, and if he at least can provide some solid points for you, I think you can buy him. Because I think you get them at a discount right now from somebody, like you said, that might still be in the hunt and they need a body versus someone that's injured. That's how you make those plays.
Well, so now I am with you in not going after Todd Gurley. I think that there's just too much damage on his knees, even for a younger.
Yeah.
He's not old.
No.
But he's got so many miles on his knees already, right, and so much issues with those. I think you can't be buying him. I actually kind of like David Montgomery because he's proven when he's been healthy this year that he's capable of being a pass catcher out of the backfield. And as long as that's a factor, that's going to limit the way they use Tariq Cohen in the future there. And I think that, again, give him a quarterback next year. Give him a quarterback to take some of the stress off of him.
Yeah, that'll
help.
And
he could be good.
And honestly, I don't know. I love Allen Robinson. That's the only thing I love about the Bears, honestly. I think their coach needs to do a better job also. So maybe that's part of why I am not so enamored with David Montgomery.
And for Eckler, I'm a little concerned because even in previous seasons, he was always the second option to Melvin Gordon. And the fact that this season, really the only time historically that Austin Eckler has been a RB1 stud was early last season when Gordon was hurt and Jackson was hurt and they didn't have any other depth to play with there.
You know, who was the player in Buffalo a few years ago? Oh, everybody wanted him to carry the ball more and more and more and more.
C.J. Spiller.
Thank you. And with C.J. and with C.J. Spiller, when he got the ball more and more and more, what happened? He wasn't effective. He was one of those guys that did better when he was limited on his touches. And Eckler might be that same kind of guy. I'm still going to buy him because I think you can buy him at a discount.
Yeah, I think that for me, at least, if Austin Eckler comes back from his injury either this week or next week and has a game or two that's really, really good, I am sell. I'm like Mortimer, sell, sell, sell.
Yeah, I can see that too. I mean, once that happens, then in my mind, the buy window is closed because I'm not paying a premium.
Exactly. Okay. Well, moving on to wide receiver. We've got a couple big names here to start off the wide receiver position. These are two wide receivers who, by all accounts, are having okay seasons. One of which has had issues with injuries. The other one has had injuries in the past. But both of them have issues regarding what their future location is going to be in the league. And also what their future quarterback situation is going to be in the league. They are Michael Thomas and Juju Smith-Schuster.
So I'm not buying Michael Thomas because I think he still costs you a premium. And I am concerned about what happens post-Breeze, even if he doesn't go anywhere. Juju, I'm concerned, of course, what happens if he's in Pittsburgh and Ben's not back, which I don't think he will be. I think Deontay's showing that he's really the head dog there. The problem with Juju, you look at what he's done this year. Of course, he's coming off his best week of the season, I believe, target-wise, this past week. He's still going to cost you a premium, and I'm not paying a premium for him. Too many talented wide receivers out there that see what it would cost you to get Juju and then compare that to a guy like DK Metcalf or Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, probably missing some other guys, a Jalen Reagor that you could probably get really cheap. And you're just going to be shocked that you're paying too much for what you can get for the same cost elsewhere or a little more of a bump, actually.
Well, and I think you kind of missed the buy window on Smith-Schuster. That was about four weeks ago, right before he started his scoring streak, scoring three or four weeks in a row, I believe it was now.
Yep.
And again, though, you've got multiple question marks there. First off, is Big Ben going to be back? Well, let's say Big Ben is back for the next couple of years. Well, is Juju going to be back? Pittsburgh is known for building up receivers, drafting more, and letting those build-up guys go sign someplace else, where they usually tend to fall off afterwards. So is Juju a product of Big Ben? I think we could certainly make that argument because of how mediocre he was last year with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges throwing him the ball.
Jerry Rice might have been mediocre with those guys throwing on the ball. Actually, Jerry Rice would have just been great.
Okay, well, we're going from two quote-unquote superstar receivers to two breakout wide receivers now. These two kind of came out of nowhere. Neither of them really had a pedigree. And I'm talking about Jacoby Myers and Travis Fulgham.
So I don't get excited for either of them, quite honestly. Jacoby Myers, you probably get a little bit cheaper than Fulgham, but Fulgham just had a really putrid game, right?
Now, you're an Eagles fan, correct?
Yes.
So you can tell me, I did not get a chance to witness the game. How much of that was Fulgham and how much of that was James Bradbury covering Fulgham? Or was Bradbury on Rager during the game?
Unfortunately, I didn't see that game because I didn't have it in my market and I don't get Dish anymore. But it's probably a combination of both, quite honestly, and just overall poor play by the offense. But with that said, can he have a role? Yes. Can you see him as being a wide receiver three in a 12-team league going forward with upside of wide receiver two? Sure, that's all his ceiling probably, right? His floor is probably wide receiver five or six. Now, what's the cost? The cost is going to cost you wide receiver two or one because that's how people are. They're going to go, oh, last week, don't worry about it, it was James Bradbury. Look what else he's doing and blah, blah, blah. I want this. I'm not buying him because of that.
Well, here's my problem with both of them. When I see both of them, I see Marvin Jones Jr., a guy that's going to have probably two or three big games each season. And he's going to – Mike Williams even. Guys who are going to produce like maybe two or three two-touchdown games. They're going to keep having value. They're probably going to ultimately end up being wide receiver fours in most formats, which means you're not playing them every week. And unfortunately, to get either of them right now, you have to trade as if you're picking up a wide receiver two.
Yep.
And I don't like that.
And the other problem with those guys, like those types, I'll even put DeSean Jackson in that type back in the day when he would wind up finishing as a wide receiver two or three, right?
Yep.
The problem is it's all boom or bust. So you rarely get the wide receiver two type stuff, and then you have to live with the other stuff. And then if you try to guess, you almost always guess wrong. So I tend to try and stay away from guys like that.
Well, and another thing to think about, too, is that both of those guys have potential issues with potential changes at quarterback in their future.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, and lastly at the wide receiver position, we have two injury-prone veterans on teams with a fair amount of depth at the wide receiver position, that being John Brown and Brandon Cooks.
Not buying Brandon Cooks. I'd buy John Brown because you probably get him at a discount. And he just seems like he's going to be the guy that you can plug in as a flex play, wide receiver three play. He's your wide receiver three, four, or five, depending on how you stacked your team. In those instances, yeah, I think you buy him. Buy him as a wide receiver four more than likely. Yeah, but if you have to pay wide receiver two or three number for him, then no. And I'm not even interested in Brandon Cooks, sorry.
I see, for me, I look at both of them, and I don't see either of them being on that on their same team next year. I think there's too many potential quality young weapons on Buffalo for them to keep Brown around, particularly with other people's contracts coming due for extended contracts. And with Cooks, I mean, they almost traded him at the trade deadline. I mean, he's been traded, what now, four times to four different teams in 5 years. He's got a history of concussions. Yes, he's having a breakout season with Deshaun Watson finding him the ball. But, again, I don't trust either of those two guys going forward. And, again, I wouldn't pay wide receiver three prices for either of them even.
Right, exactly. Now, and quite honestly, either one of them could wind up in Philly, right, because they want somebody to replace Deshaun Jackson. And if that happens, I don't know why. In my head, I see Cooks as somebody who's much less reliable than Smoke is. I don't know why, but I just do. But yeah, I'm probably not.
See, my only issue, I love both the guys from the standpoint that they're both gamers when they're out there.
True.
But John Brown, he is best served as a speed receiver, like you said, a field stretcher. He's a field stretcher that's had a bunch of foot injuries the last year and a half, though.
Fair point.
I'm
not buying either. It
would have to be the perfect situation that somehow Buffalo is able to afford to keep him. Because I think in Buffalo, he's got a great role. He's got a quarterback that can get the ball to him downfield deep. He's got a good possession receiver opposite him in Stephon Diggs. And he's got guys behind him to keep him healthy by subbing in for some things. But if he goes someplace and he's expected to be a full-time wide receiver too, I just don't think he can put up the numbers.
Hey, here's a Texans thing to do. They let Cooks walk, and then they sign John Brown. There you go. Take it to the bank.
That could happen. That really could.
I know. It really could. I'm being serious.
From Cook's standpoint, what I'd love to see is him find a team where he can be a third option, maybe, possibly Green Bay. I know they're talking about trading for him or Fuller at the trade deadline. But if you can put him there at third option behind Lazard and Davante Adams, I think he'd be a good option there for them. Brown, I could see him going there. I really would like to see Brown maybe go to a team, though, that has, like I said, two younger, better starting wide receivers. So he can kind of be a third wheel. Maybe a team like Denver or San Francisco.
Yeah. All right. It doesn't matter because we're not buying them.
Okay. Tight end. Six guys here broken up into three groups.
Okay.
First two. Two old guys who may have issues due to aging quarterbacks potentially leaving us in the near future. Jared Cook and Rob Gronkowski.
I'm not buying Gronkowski. I'm sorry. Because he's going to cost you more based on his name alone. Cook, it would depend up where he's going to go. I'm not even willing to risk it. I think there's enough young guys at the position that have less name recognition and is just as much upside for next year and the year after, so I'm passing on both.
I 100% agree. I think there's just far too much. I mean, maybe in a two tight end mandatory league, but otherwise, I think that both of them are past their prime. Both are at best going to stay with their current quarterbacks for one more season. And at worst, they're going to lose their current quarterbacks next season. And again, like you said, neither one has any dynasty upside after next season. So, okay. Next up, two NFC least veterans, both with a history of injury success, and both with a history of injury, both with a history of success, and both with extremely high cap hits coming up next year. Those being Zach Ertz and Evan Engram.
Yeah, I buy both, but it, of course, depends on the premium. I don't want to pay a premium for either, but if I was going to pay a premium, it would be for Zach Ertz.
I think a lot of it depends, too, on where they end up.
Yeah, it does. But you're buying them now before that happens, right?
Yes.
So I see Ertz, I feel, has been healthier than Engram. A little savvier. He's done more. He's had higher production. At the end of the day, if somebody was trying to shop both to me, I'd probably take the one I could get for the cheaper price because I think they're close in production. But if you want the guy that's got the absolute higher ceiling, I still think that's Ertz.
Again, like I said, we're looking at two guys that it's very likely will not be on their current NFC lease teams next year.
So let's do this. Put Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz in Indianapolis.
I assume we're getting rid of all the other tight ends in Indianapolis then?
At that point, they don't matter.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there's spots where it works, and then there's spots where it doesn't. Put them in Chicago, and you still have Nick Foles there.
That would be interesting.
You know? So, but then you've got Engram, who he's a freak. I mean, he's got all kinds of you know, physical talent, but he has had a hard time staying healthy, and that makes him a riskier buy.
Well, in the case of Engram, another reason why I'm pretty sure he won't be back, aside from the high cap hit, is they showed last year that Caden Smith was able to step in and be an effective tight end too.
Yeah. Evan Engram plays in, let's say, Jacksonville next year. How's that?
Well, you know, I really wanted James O'Shaughnessy to be something this year, and it didn't happen. So for me, going to Jacksonville, it all depends on whether or not they can get a quarterback there that they can rely on.
Yeah. Well, they may have a young quarterback they're developing, so they might want a solid tight end that they can lean on. Who knows? Okay.
Exactly.
Next bucket.
Last two on the buy-sell list. Two tight ends who are going to be inevitably tied together for the foreseeable future due to their both having been related to the Atlanta Falcons, and that being Austin Hooper and Hayden Hurst.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not opposed to buying either of them, quite honestly, but I want to get a deal. I'm not paying a premium for either.
And for me, I'm actually avoiding both of them. Only because both of those situations, I feel there's just too many weapons in their offenses to make either one be a true next step tight end. And because of the lack of talent at the tight end position, is certain. I don't say that there's not talented tight ends. I'm just saying there's not high-end tight ends this year. I mean, we've got Kittle, you've got Kelsey, you've got Mandrews. But there's all these guys that are all in that second tier, and they're all so very close to each other. And I feel that because of their names and their success that they had well in Atlanta, you pay too much for them.
Yeah, that's
on both cases.
So I said I'm not going to pay too much. I'll tell you what, I'll throw in a bonus one. Penny stock, definitely penny stock. You might be able to get him thrown into another deal, actually, so you get him for free. Chris Herndon.
That's definitely a penny stock. I actually kind of like him this week. He's not on my DFS list, but because he hasn't done anything this year.
No, he hasn't.
It's a good matchup this week, though.
Yeah, I think he matched his season high on his bye, possibly. I don't know.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, speaking of DFS, let's get right at it. And the rules, of course, are, or I should say, to set the table. I might be drunk, but I haven't had anything to drink.
Well, I'm the one drinking tonight, so.
There you go. So to set the table, Harlan and I do this DFS stuff. We do not discuss it in advance. The only thing I know is who he just said that Herndon's not in his DFS stuff tonight, so I'm guessing we won't have him to pick from. But Harley will set an over-under, and then we're going to run through the positions and see if we hit the over-under that I call. Set the line, sir.
The line this week has been set a little lower after last week's fiasco. It's only 5.
It's under.
It's under 5, okay.
We're going under. I was going under if you said 4.
Oh, wow.
Watch us hit 8.
Okay, why don't you start by saying who you're going to pay up for at quarterback?
So at quarterback, I had one guy wrote him down, came in to write up another guy, and then couldn't sell myself on it because I was like, yeah, I like both. I'll take the guy that's cheaper and who's been more consistent versus the guy who has a ceiling that's higher than anybody but has really been inconsistent. So Lamar Jackson was who I was going to consider, but I'm going to pay up for Justin Herbert this week at home against that Jets team.
You know, I thought about both of them. I actually thought about pretty much every quarterback on the list this week because there's a lot of good deals out there.
True.
And we didn't match, so you're well on your way to getting the under. I'm going to pay up for Ben Roethlisberger at Jacksonville. Now, normally I avoid Roethlisberger on the road like the plague, but what's crazy is over the last 2 weeks, Pittsburgh has completely abandoned their running game. And they've done that against two bad running defenses. They're using 5 wide receiver sets when they're up 22 points midway through the fourth quarter of games. This is absurd. I don't know what Mike Tomlin is smoking. Does he think that he can beat Kansas City if he just ignores the running game like they do? That's the only possible thing I can think of. But over the last 2 weeks, again, against bad run defenses, Pittsburgh has 91 pass attempts and only 38 rushing attempts. 5 times this season, Jacksonville has allowed 3 or more touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks. That's more than half of their games. So Ben's going to get done this week. It's going to be a lot. It's going to be Claypool. It's going to be Schuster. It's going to be Deontay Johnson. Get them all in your lineup.
Okay. Who are you going to stay away from? I think we'll have a match here.
This is probably a match. I'm going to stay away from Aaron Rodgers in Indianapolis.
Yeah, we're matched.
$9,000 on FanDuel for Rodgers in this matchup. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Rodgers actually was fine last week. I was a little concerned about game strip getting out of hand, but Luton kept the game close. This week he has to face an Indy defense that has allowed the fewest passing yards per game at home, 175 passing yards per game at home, and only one passing touchdown total at home all year versus 7 interceptions. Not one passing touchdown per game, one passing touchdown total. 3 touchdowns total because there were 2 rushing touchdowns against them at home, and 7 INTs. I don't care if you're Aaron Rodgers. you don't deserve to be starting this week from a DFS standpoint in this situation. Indianapolis has the best defense in football right now. I'm sorry, Pittsburgh. I'm sorry, Baltimore. I'm sorry, New England. Anyone else? It's Indy.
Can't disagree with you. That's why we match.
I think we might match a value play here, too.
So I think so, because I was quick to write one name down, and I said, I don't know if he's cheap enough. I better look and see if I can find somebody a little more discounted. But at the end of the
day, that's exactly what I did, too.
At the end of the day, I went back to the first guy that I said, and he's risky because we don't know that he's actually going to start, but I'm sorry, I think he's going to start because I don't think you change your game plan by moving two players around. So that means I'm starting Jameis Winston at home against those Falcons.
I actually agree with that play. Much the same reason I looked at him. I also looked at Carson Wentz at Cleveland. I looked at Andy Dalton if he got the start against Minnesota.
Keep going down.
All three are possibilities.
Keep going down.
But I didn't go past Dalton. I actually stopped one player above him at Alex Smith.
That's who I crossed off.
Cincinnati has allowed 14 passing touchdowns over their last four games. I see it on your list there. Meanwhile, Smith, he's only thrown one passing touchdown over the last 2 weeks, but he is averaging just under 360 passing yards per game in these two starts. So
with
good play
with Jameis, you always have to worry about the interceptions. But yeah, are you going to be shocked if he throws for 400, four touchdowns and three interceptions?
Not against Atlanta,
right? So, and his price is, I mean, it's 5,900. But no, I love the price of Alex Smith. Honestly, I do. But anyway, there you go. So we matched one out of the three at the quarterback spot. I think we'll match on running back for the pay up. We're watching him play right now. At least I am, in Dalvin Cook. And I had a couple of options here, but I thought that I liked Cook the best.
Well, we're not going to match at pay up for this then.
Okay.
For me, I looked at that 10,500 on FanDuel.
Yeah.
And anytime a guy goes above 10,000 and his name isn't Christian McCaffrey, I'm concerned. Now, yes, the Dallas matchup is good, but Dallas is equally bad against the pass. So, I mean, I think it'll be a split thing where Cousins will have a decent game and Cook will have a decent game. But again, to expect him to hit 30 points on FanDuel and 27 points on DraftKings, it's usually safe, but it's not a guarantee. I went for a guy that was a little bit more expensive on DraftKings, but $800 cheaper on FanDuel at Alvin Kamara.
I understand that. 150-plus rushing yards, 60 to 70 receiving yards, and two touchdowns for Dalvin Cook.
Well, here's an interesting stat. In six career games, Alvin Kamara has not scored against Atlanta. I'm of the belief that that's going to change finally here. Kamara scored multiple rushing touchdowns this past week on a line that Jordan Howard would blush at, basically like eight carries for 12 yards and two touchdowns. But you know what? That was against a premier run defense this past week. Kamara is not facing a premier run defense this week. It's Atlanta. I actually like him for the 7.4 catches, 72 yards per game that he's averaging on the season. He's got four receiving touchdowns. Atlanta is one of the worst teams in the league against receiving running backs. So I think that really plays into Alvin Kamara's strength this week.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I looked at Kamara. I liked him, but, man, no one's hotter than Dalvin Cook right now. So
I really want to see what he does here against Chicago's defense today. Obviously, they're much faster, so be a good test to how good Dalvin truly is.
Well, Dallas has a couple of fast linebackers, but all Dalvin has to do is stop, let him go by, and then, you know, keep motoring on. All right, who are we staying away from? I think we match here, too.
Well, I'm stacking my stayaways here.
Yep.
I'm not going to roster Aaron Jones at Indianapolis. India's allowing only 71 running back rushing yards per game. Only four running backs have scored a rushing TD against them. Plus, you know, so I said 71 rushing yards is what India's allowed for a high mark. Jones's high mark rushing this year is 71 rushing yards. Obviously, Jones is getting it done with short touchdowns and through pass catching, too. That's the only way he's going to have any success in this game is through passing game. But you know what? They also got a guy by the name of Jamal Williams that just came back this past week, so he's going to eat into those numbers. And you're looking at a ceiling of 100 total yards and one touchdown for Jones. At this price, that's not good.
Nope, not at all. We agree. Two matches through two groups. My under is looking pretty good. Although
it is.
Yeah, we are, because the number was 5. All right, we might match on two wide receivers, though. Can't say that I loved wide receiver this week, but
how about your value play at running back first?
Oh, crap. You know, I'm trying to just get us there, right? I actually think we're gonna. I think we could match on our running back play.
Interesting.
I went for who the running back's facing more than the running back, but he's coming off a really big game too. Rex Burkhead, give me sexy Rexy this week.
Oh, some of my best lineups this week were ones where I subbed in Rex Burkhead because I was concerned about Deontay Harris's chest injury from the previous week. Well, of course, Harris played and he had 120 yards of his own, but Burkhead scored the 2 touchdowns. So 100% on board with Burkhead here. He wasn't my pick, but I do like him at his price. The guy I'm going with also had a big week last week, although his performance, at least in the first half, was overshadowed by a teammate. A teammate that I happened to recommend as a value play last week, a gentleman by the name of J.D. McKissic.
Yes.
Well, of course, McKissic caught 12 didn't catch 12 passes. He was targeted 12 times in the first half, caught a bunch of those. So he was my value play last week, and he was a great value play. Another good play in that game, though, was Antonio Gibson, who eventually came in and scored 2 rushing touchdowns second half of the game. So this week, I like Gibson a little bit more, and here's why. McKissic doesn't get any carries, and Cincinnati is much worse against running backs on the ground than they are through the air. So far this year, they are allowing over 5 yards per carry to opposing running backs on the ground, but fewer than 4 receptions per game. So that tells me that if Washington is going to beat Cincinnati with the running game, it's going to be Antonio Gibson and not J.D. McKissic this week.
Fair enough. No problem with that, honestly. You can't look away from the fact that McKissic has, I think, 693 targets the last 3 weeks.
It's scary. Absolutely scary. With him and Alex Smith, they really have a thing going.
Yeah, they do. Alex loves his running backs out of the backfield. So, okay, now we can move over to wide receiver. Go ahead. Tell me who you're paying up for.
I'm paying up for Keenan Allen versus the Jets.
Not a match.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I looked at Keenan Allen. I like Keenan Allen. I thought about stacking Herbert, but I had to go with one of our dynasty guys, Michael Thomas.
I went to the Thomas Wall last week, and it didn't pay off. It should have. The process was right.
Yep. And I have a feeling that this week Jameis is going to force him the ball the way he used to force it to Mike Evans and even Chris Godwin because, you know, Thomas plays out of the slot quite a bit. I think Thomas has a good week. I wasn't loving anybody. I liked Allen. I liked Thomas. So there you go. 2 plays.
Well, I actually really agree with you on Thomas this week too. Obviously, Jameis Winston didn't get reps last week, at least not a ton of starters reps. So when he came in, Thomas may have been better. Thomas may have been fully healthy, but they didn't instantly click because, well, Winston hadn't been working with Thomas. Winston had been working with guys like Deontay Harris during practice. So, yeah, I think Thomas is set for another big week this week. Once again, assuming that he gets enough shares of snaps between Taysom and Winston, that Winston gets comfortable with Thomas. Obviously, I don't expect him to have the same level of binky ship with Thomas that Breeze does, but I could still see another 8 catches, 90 to 100 yards, and a touchdown easily in this game for them.
Yep.
With my guy, Keenan Allen, he scored in 4 of his last 5 games. The only outlier games that he posted 10 catches and 125 yards, so he could have easily scored in that one. The score last week saved a really tough performance against an elite Miami secondary. The Jets are far from an elite secondary. Only 3 teams have allowed more receiving yards to opposing wide receivers, and both number 1 wide receivers and slot target hogs, guys like Keenan Allen that get all the targets, they've both beaten them all year. So Allen qualifies as both. I think he's going to have a big game. He's going to get a lot of targets. He's going to get a lot of receptions, and he's going to score.
I will say this. I think there's no question that Allen and Thomas we're definitely going to pay up for, but we're going to agree that we're going to make it a trifecta, and we're staying away from Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones' teammate, Davante Adams, right?
We're 3 for 3 on our anti-Green Bay stack. Davante Adams' price tag is just way too high for this matchup. Again, $9,500 on FanDuel. This is not Christian McCaffrey healthy. Through 9 games, only 2 wide receiver ones have scored against Indianapolis. Only 1 wide receiver one has posted more than 5 catches, more than 58 yards. Heck, 2 wide receiver ones have been completely shut out of the stat page against Indianapolis. On the year, they're allowing an average of 3 catches and 37 yards to opposing wide receiver ones. Yes, Davante Adams is something special. Yes, Davante Adams can go up and high point and catch a touchdown with a bum ankle. Yes, it's true. Davante Adams is the best wide receiver in football right now. No, I'm not paying $9,500 or even $8,600 for him.
DeAndre Hopkins says, hold my beer there. So for what it's worth.
What a catch that was, by the way. What a catch.
Hail Murray. 8 catches, 120 yards, and 1 touchdown for Davante Adams this week is disappointing if you play him at DFS. It does not meet the numbers. So that's what he's got. I mean, think about that. 8, 120, and 1 makes him a bad play.
And he's not going to get half that.
Right. Okay. Who is your value play this week? I don't think we'll agree here.
My value play is someone we talked about a little bit earlier in the Dynasty buy sell section.
We might then.
I'm going to take Jacoby Myers at Houston.
We're not.
It's tough to match at the wide receiver value play with so many things to choose from.
Yeah, it is.
Opposing number one wide receivers have destroyed Houston this year. 6 of the 9 number one wide receivers to face them have scored at least once. The only 3 that didn't score against them were Hollywood Brown in week 2 when Lamar Jackson completed only 12 passes to his wide receivers. Week 6, DJ Chark left the game early with an ankle injury. And this past Sunday in the storm against Cleveland, where Jarvis Landry only had a couple catches. In the other 6 games, opposing wide receiver ones are averaging 7 catches and 101 yards with 8 total TDs against Houston.
So we don't match, but I don't mind that play at all. My play is risky because this guy has not shown a ton this year, but it's ability and matchup that's making me go, and he's cheaper than your guy. Jalen Reagor playing against a Cleveland Browns team that's given up the 5th most points to the wide receiver position.
I was also close to playing Jalen Reagor.
See that? Some people might want to go to Travis Fulgham because they think, okay, I'll get him as a bounce back, and he could have a good day too. But Rager's cheaper, and yeah, I think he has a coming out party this week.
You know, actually, right above Jalen Reagor on the DraftKings price list at 43, well, same price at DraftKings, $100 more expensive on FanDuel is also Brashad Perriman, who I also considering that Joe Flacco looked his way a lot last week. And Flacco has already been named the starter for this coming week. So I thought about Perriman. I thought about Reagor both in that same price range. I actually kind of like Michael Pittman Jr. against Green Bay, too. So a lot of guys to look for among that price range for your wide receiver 3 this week. Give you a little bit extra money to spend up at your running back 2 if you go with a couple of these cheaper guys at wide receiver 3 to maybe in wide receiver 2.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's move on over to tight end.
And we're gonna need to hit big here to get the over.
Yeah, to hit the over, we need to sweep. But I called the under, so let's see what happens.
Okay. Pay to play this week. For the first time in a long time, I'm going to pay to play for the most expensive guy on the list, and that's Mark Andrews versus Tennessee. At $4,900 on DraftKings, it doesn't really feel like I'm paying up.
Right.
At $6,500 on FanDuel, it's higher than most. There's no more Nick Boyle to steal targets and possible touchdowns. Sunday night, we saw Andrews jump up from his season average of like 4 and 45 to 7 catches for 61 yards on 9 targets, all 3 of which were season highs. Now, he didn't score versus the Patriots, but with the return in volume, so will the touchdowns. I mean, after all, he does have 15 touchdowns since the start of last year.
So we're not going to hit the over. We're not going to push. We could push, I guess, still. I paid up for – none of them were like pay-ups, honestly, right? They're just all so cheap.
Yes.
I'm going to say that my pay-up is Hayden Hurst this week.
Well, I don't think this is a bad play. I mean, you could go with either tight end in that game because neither team is very good against the tight end.
True.
So Jared Cook is actually cheaper on DraftKings and more expensive on FanDuel.
That is
doesn't true. Happen very often.
No, that, I miss it. I told you, I always focus on DraftKings. So I wasn't in love with any of the pay-ups to where I felt like they were truly a pay-up. So I went to the game that I think is going to be a higher scoring game. That's how I made my decision at the end of the day.
Although for me, when I was trying to choose a stay away, I had more difficulty with that this week because
oh really?
Among the top 10 priced options, most of them were actually okay. I mean, there wasn't one that really jumped out at me as being really just awful matchup.
See, I had one that jumped out at me that I just did not like. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. Yeah, I had somebody that jumped out at me, so we're probably not going to match. But then again, maybe we will. I'll just tell you, I'm staying away from Noah Fant this week.
Well, I did think about him. I also thought about Janu Smith. And then I looked at things and saw, well, you see Janu Smith is facing Baltimore. You think Baltimore's defense is great. Baltimore's outside defense is great. They've actually been pretty piss poor against tight ends this year.
Right.
Same thing with Miami. Miami's got two elite outside cornerbacks, but they've been getting the damage that's been done against them this year has been with slot receivers and tight ends. So I couldn't go with Noah Fant either in that situation. The only guy that I really saw in the top 10 that I just looked at and I'm like, oh, God, this is just not a great matchup. He's actually the 6th highest paid player on DraftKings this week. And just in and of itself, that makes me sick. It's Mike Gesicki at Denver. For me, he's been so unreliable this year. He has only 2 games with more than 5 targets. He has only 2 games with more than 3 receptions. He has just 2 games with more than 45 receiving yards. And he has just 2 games with a touchdown. How is he the 6th highest played tight end on the slate here against a decent team against tight ends?
Yeah, I mean, so the Dolphins, believe it or not, they're a bottom 7 team against the tight end position.
Yes.
Let's make sure here. They have not given up a double-digit performance to a single tight end this year.
That's good.
So that's why I'm staying away from Mr. Fant.
Okay, we might match at value play.
I think we will match at value play, actually.
Well, you know, I stacked my quarterback, my running back, and now I'm going to stack them with my tight end. They call this the triple stack. I'm going Logan Thomas versus Cincinnati.
And we do match.
Logan Thomas has seen a slight uptick in targets the last 2 weeks with Alex Smith at the helm. Not a huge uptick, but he's gotten a couple more targets than his season average. Meanwhile, Cincinnati, they've allowed 3 of the last 5 tight end groups to face them to absolutely go ham. They've given up 7 touchdowns to the position over the last 5 games. Thomas, like I said, getting more involved. I think he's going to have a big game this week against Cincinnati.
I don't disagree. I told you I was taking the under even if he went down to 4. That would have been a push.
I almost did go down to 4, to tell you the truth.
4 always makes it tough. That does.
I really thought we were going to match on Keenan Allen. That was the one that pushed it to 5.
And I thought there was a chance we could have matched at Michael Thomas. So I just didn't feel comfortable about the tight ends. I did not feel comfortable about. And beyond the Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, I really thought that there was a toss-up with me taking Herbert over Aljax also.
One, I will say this too. Something to think about, folks. If you play on FanDuel, Taysom Hill qualifies at tight end on FanDuel.
Yes.
His price is $4,500. That's less than the average price tight end. He is a great value play at tight end on FanDuel this week.
I almost used him as my value play, honestly, at tight end.
But I very seriously came close to doing it myself.
But I thought that would be...
Let's put this way. Worst case scenario, he's a gadget play guy. He comes in, possibly scores a touchdown. Best case scenario, Jameis Winston goes in, throws 3 interceptions in the first quarter, and Taysom Hill's your starting quarterback the rest of the game, or you get to slot him at your tight end spot.
Or tweaks an ankle or something, which is
exactly
very possible. So actually, I would say you almost – there's actually no reason not to use – if you're going for an all-or-nothing lineup, Taysom Hill should be your tight end.
Yes. Again, though, he only qualifies at tight end on FanDuel, so obviously
– sure.
Don't select them as your quarterback on DraftKings. No, that is not a winning strategy.
That's not what we're saying to do. Not at all. But yeah, I don't see – actually, if you truly want to go for upside out the wazoo, you have to use Taysom Hill as your tight end in FanDuel.
Absolutely, 100%.
And if he only scores 3-4 points, that's the average that you're probably going to get from most of the schlubs that you'd be playing over him anyway.
I was going to say, like the high-end tight ends this past week scored 10 to 12 points on both sites.
Yeah. So you're not costing yourself much for that risk.
Exactly. But again, you're saving yourself $2,000 on FanDuel based on Mark Andrews. Even the guys we talked about as values, guys you had Hurst. No, you had Hurst as your favorite. Who was your value play? My value play was Thomas. He's $700 cheaper than Thomas.
Yep.
That $700 can mean an awful lot. That can mean the difference at wide receiver behind putting Michael Thomas in your lineup or being forced to go with A.J. Brown.
Yes. So do me a favor on Sunday. Can you find out what his ownership is and tweet it out?
I will do that.
What's the highest ownership you've ever seen for a player?
Well, in some of the showdown slates or some of the like small slates in the afternoons, and so – you'll sometimes see players on DraftKings and FanDuel as high as like 65, 66% for the true chalk. Obviously, with the smaller pools of players, you're going to have higher ownership at certain positions. FanBall in particular, again, they have smaller contests. When you have smaller contests, there's going to be higher ownership for players. I mean, this showdown slate tonight on FanBall, every single owner in a GPP has Dalvin Cook. It's a 100% ownership.
And that's – I think that his ownership should be north of 85%.
Exactly. And again, like I said, based on the 4,500 price on FanDuel, if you want – particularly in a GPP. Now, I'd say I'm more apt to want to use him in a GPP this week than in a cash game format, but – I could see you using him in either. And if you're playing a showdown game, if you're playing a single game option with New Orleans, there's zero chance that I am not having him somewhere in my lineup, probably in the captain spot.
Right. Okay, so that's going to do it for the week of week 10, going into week 11, right? Isn't that what it is? Yeah, we're going into week 11.
Yes.
As always, listen, you can go ahead and follow Harley on Twitter at NuclearHarley. Follow me at Steve Gallo NFL. If you're not subscribed yet, subscribe to thehuddle.com. All that good stuff so we can help you out wherever you need it. And listen, we're going to change it up this week, Harley. We got a new closing to use. So instead of the normal thing, I'm going to say, get blitzed responsibly.